Transfer complete.
Hello and welcome to Subspace Transmissions, the podcast where two Trek fans step into the arena and tackle the best, worst, weirdest, wildest, and everything in between that Star Trek has to offer. I'm Cam Smith, and joining me on the bridge,
this is Tyler Orton reporting for duty, Cam.
And now for this week's conundrum, Star Trek revivals. Make it so? Question mark?
Well, Cam, a lot of listeners might be asking, what do you mean by a Star Trek revival?
What does it mean, Tyler? Why am I here?
Here's the thing. X-Files, it debuted a few weeks ago. It's season 10. They brought the show back on the air after, what, like a 14-year absence or something like that?
I guess it was, what, 6 years between the last movie and the show?
Yeah, but back on television, yeah. You know, they're doing it once again. And it's not just the X-Files that is getting revived. We're having revivals recently of Heroes. Twin Peaks is coming back. They're doing one for MacGyver, Prison Break,
Fuller House,
Boy Meets World, Gilmore Girls, 24, Coach almost made it as a revival, and then it got canned. And of course, you were Canadian, Anne of Green Gables is coming back, Cam.
Oh.
They're bringing back, like, pretty much all these beloved franchises. Do you know why, though? Do you know why it makes sense for them to do this sort of stuff?
Built-in marketing appeal.
Exactly. They're known brands. They're known entities. It's a lot harder for them to market new products, so
yeah.
Why not just revive something that exists in the past that people are familiar with?
Well, I mean, this is just like what had been sweeping the movie industry anyway, where, you know, we had Battleship because it was known properties. You know, obviously all these things with the comic books, anything based in nostalgia is very easy to market. It's become something that people complain a lot about in movies. Now they can complain about it in TV.
Well, you know what? Let's tackle it from the angle of whether there's much viability here for one of the franchises to be revived. I'm talking about TOS, TNG, Voyager, Deep Space Nine, Enterprise. Is there any chance for them to be revived? Maybe not so much, but if they were, what would they look like? What kind of stories are left to tell? And what would the cast makeup realistically look like if somebody wanted to put money, I'm talking about a studio here, put money into bringing back Star Trek in a revival form? We're already right. Getting a brand new television, but hey, maybe they would want to bring Star Trek back as a revival, one of these particular franchises, just because it's such a known quantity.
Wait, why would they need to? Star Trek Renegades is back.
Yeah, it's just blowing up all those YouTube numbers that we have here.
Yeah.
Every Star Trek fan I know just can't stop talking about it.
Right.
Well, anyways, let's start with the original series, Cam.
There's plenty of room for a revival of this show. Get that whole cast back in.
Well, let me just...
into the same uniforms. I don't want even a change in uniform. I want the same uniform from 67, 68.
Don't even give the new cast members new measurements.
No.
Just throw them in the old
ones.
Well, here's the thing. I mean... We can joke about it. I think they kind of sealed the deal. I'm talking about Paramount here by... well, they rebooted that franchise. They've got Chris Pine, Zach Quinto, Zoe Saldana. All those people are back. But, I mean, let's talk about it. How busy is, say, Walter Koenig's schedule? Do you think he would be able to fit this in?
This is about to be the most depressing moment in podcasting history. let's be honest. He's available.
Yeah.
There are other issues preventing a revival of this original series.
Well, let's talk about that.
Mostly it's age-based.
Yeah.
I think maybe the better question to tackle is, and we've also lost, you know, Nimoy is gone.
It's going
to
be tough to...
Jimmy Doohan is gone. I mean, it's just not going to happen. I think, there, you know, before we move on to a more viable candidate, why don't we, though, talk about...
Star Trek Phase 2? Can we bring back Zahn?
No. Please, God, no. Shatner has been talking about how he would like to bring back Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
Is there room for a Shatner Kirk?
We brought it up on podcast a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Or months ago, I should say. Shatner's alive, you have the 50th anniversary coming up, and Star Trek Beyond is coming out.
Yeah.
I really think they should be doing everything they can to make it happen. Is it going to be the prettiest thing on screen? Is it going to
be awful?
Here's the thing. My big fear is that it would just feel just totally wedged in there unnecessarily, but I kind of think maybe they need to do it somehow.
The thing is, when you have Nimoy come back and play Spock in the previous two JJ films, Spock and Nimoy, by extension, has a certain grace and dignity and nobility to him. Shatner does not. And I feel like wedging him into anything Star Trek related is going to be really campy and silly.
Is it strange to think it's been nearly 25 years since we've seen Shatner as Captain Kirk? Like, that just kind of blows my mind.
Well, that's not true. There was the Oscar ceremony where he played Kirk.
Oh, and what about the Star Trek 30th anniversary where he appeared along with the cast of Frasier?
Right.
Well, Kim, what do you think the chances are of Shatner as Kirk? I kind of told you what my thoughts are. I kind of think maybe the franchise is somewhat obligated to do it. I
don't know.
Like, Shatner's willing to do it.
Have you gotten the vibe that the creators of the new Star Trek, or you know, whatever, the people that would be carrying it going forward, have the reverence for William Shatner that they did for Leonard Nimoy?
We're talking about like the guys behind Beyond, right?
Yeah.
No. I don't think
they
do. I don't
get that vibe either. Like, I feel like there's a lot of reverence for Leonard Nimoy, the man.
I
don't get that as much for Shatner. I mean, I think he's... Captain Kirk is loved. I think Shatner's a little polarizing.
Yeah. And my other concern is that the Shatner that we know now... He's almost kind of a parody of himself, and I do wonder if we're gonna, if he does appear on screen as Kirk, we're gonna get like kind of the parody version of Kirk, you know, where he's talking like this all the time, Cam.
Yeah, I mean, and he's also kind of become a huckster.
Sure.
I mean,
they're all noble ventures that he's engaged
in. Isn't his book on Nimoy out like this week?
Did you hear him doing interviews about that? About how they had a big falling out towards the end of Nimoy's life?
Yeah.
Just like, wow. And Shatner claims he has no idea why.
I think he's a very self-involved man.
Yes.
I get that impression.
But I think it stems from a place of deep, deep insecurity.
Well, that's the case of a lot of actors.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, something like 60 years in that profession will do that to you.
Well, okay. Yeah. Is it kind of decided that Shatner's not likely going to be revived as Kirk?
I don't think so.
Okay. Just quickly...
maybe like a parody. Maybe he could play Kirk in like an animated parody or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. They've had him on Family Guy before, haven't they? So
bring him on to Robot Chicken or something like that. There you go.
Yeah.
There's your Kirk revival.
Maybe a quick SNL skit.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with that.
Sure.
The other thing, I mean, George Takei, he was in Flashback, you know, maybe just a scant 20 years ago.
He's someone else that I wonder if the persona of Takei has become too identifiable and kind of too publicly known for people to believe him as Sulu again.
Well, you know what? I think that there's a better chance of a Sulu cameo happening than a Shatner cameo happening. And maybe, I think Sulu's aged a whole lot better.
Yes.
And he has a certain kind of... dignity in his performance that maybe Shatner might lack at this point.
Right, yeah.
I still don't see them really bringing back Sulu, but I think there's a bigger chance of that than bringing back Shatner as Kirk.
Yeah, and I don't think you're going to see them bringing back Koenig or Nichelle Nichols.
I think both of those actors just... we've seen them live in recent years, and I think it's obvious that they're not doing so well.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be almost kind of mean... to bring him back.
Yeah, I think so too.
Only Star Trek Renegades would do that to an actor like them. So do we agree TOS revival pretty much out of the question?
Yeah, it's out of the question.
We've got the new Star Trek JJ crew. That's where it's gone.
And ultimately, you know what? The show was revived in the movies.
Yeah. Oh, not Phase 2? I thought that's where you were going.
No, but it was actually revived in another series. The next one I kind of want to talk about, I don't know if this was on your list, which is the Star Trek animated series.
Well, let me just mention one person that I do think would come back.
Okay.
Stephen Collins.
This just got uncomfortable.
Reprising the role of William Deckard. Come on, Cam.
A revival of Oz, maybe.
I don't think Ilya's coming back, but oh dear. Anyways, animated series, Cam, go for it.
Yeah, well, the animated series is something that is kind of a joke with a lot of fans. Its place within the Star Trek canon is very dubious.
It was a great hidden comedy gem when you made me watch the Counterclock Incident.
Right. It's kind of the redheaded stepchild of the Star Trek franchise. But I think that Star Trek really should look at bringing back the animated series.
Now, would it be animated series TOS form or something altogether?
I think I would go TOS. Yeah. I would base it on the movies. The current, you know, the J.J. Abramsverse movies.
Oh, so instead of getting Shatner to voice...
I'm saying more the characters than the actors. I'm not talking about bringing back Shatner to K.
Well, don't you think it'd be kind of obvious to have Shatner voice this...
No, not really? At this point. I mean, fine. You know what? If he wants to do it, sure. No, but it's not something that... Because the thing is, you could bring him back, but you probably aren't going to bring back the other ones. So then, are we having Shatner and a whole new cast of people imitating classic characters?
No, you're going to bring back Takei, Nichols, Koenig. Putting them in front of a microphone is a whole lot easier than putting them in front of cameras.
They don't sound young, though. And if you're doing the animated series, you're going to draw them young.
I know. I don't know. I just think like it would be tough not to put that invitation out there, especially when they did the voices originally.
Don't think this is
you're not
going
to get Chris Pine and Simon Pegg contribute to this.
I don't think you need those actors at all. I think you just hire a whole new voice cast, like most animated series do.
So it would take place in the Abrams universe?
I think so. I think that makes the most sense. Yeah. I'll tell you why I think this is a good idea.
Okay.
Not so much because I'm dying to watch the animated series, another animated series, or that you are necessarily dying to watch it either. Saturday
no, mornings. I'm not.
Yeah. But my whole thing is, Star Trek... You know, they want this to be a legacy show. They want future generations to keep the Star Trek brand alive. How do you do that? By appealing to kids.
Yeah.
A lot of children are huge into the Marvel stuff, and they know all these characters before these movies come out. Like, kids knew who characters from Guardians of the Galaxy were before that movie came out. Adults didn't have a clue, other than the marketing. Kids had seen them on all these various animated Marvel shows. Star Trek had it an animated show... With a cast, you could start introducing characters, aliens. Next thing you know, those kids are growing up. Then they're going to look into past Star Trek. I think it's like fostering a fan base that is really being ignored. It's easy to make the 2017 Fuller Trek, which is going to be probably more adult-driven. Adults are all going to die off at a certain point. What then? Where's the young generation of Star Trek fans?
I'm living forever, but I am kind of surprised that they haven't pursued this avenue. Doesn't it just seem really obvious, like, to get, you know, like you said, the Abrams animated series off the ground?
Yeah.
A lot of cross promotion with the film. But here's kind of maybe the kicker, though, is just licensing deals between CBS, which owns all the TV rights, and Paramount, which owns all the film rights. Yeah. I think there's just too much of a crossing of streams there that all these media conglomerates, they could never get their act together to get this going. I think it makes a lot of sense. Just money is there to be made on both the TV and movie side of it. It's very surprising to me that they can't get it together because it makes sense to me. I think you bring up actually a good point, even though I was very dismissive of you earlier, Cam.
Yeah, it just, to me, makes complete sense. It's an easy way to give children an opportunity to learn the entire world of Star Trek.
Yeah.
That, you know, because imagine you're an 8-year-old kid now. Star Trek is not on the air. How are you going to get into Star Trek other than these movies?
And you got to rely on, like, your parents who are fans.
And say you see, you know, the J.J. Abrams movie. Are you then like, Mom, Dad, can you please buy me the original series?
And then a lot of parents who aren't fans of those series are like, nah, wait till the next one.
Or TNG. Maybe a kid who's 8 years old now is going to sit and watch TNG and be like, I'm really bored watching this. Sure. Like, it's a different type of television from a different age. I think this would be the perfect way... Of any of the ones I think we're going to talk about in this episode, this would be the way to really get new and probably older fandom excited.
I think it's the most realistic one that could come into fruition. Mm-hmm. The most economically viable one, just in terms of like contracts that would have to be signed, etc.
Yeah,
it makes sense to me. Yeah. I'm with you there, Mr. Smith.
That's right.
That'll be the last time I agree with you the entire podcast. Well, you know, let's jump over to TNG now.
Right.
Here's the one that I think if the big wigs were going to revive any series, this would be at the top of the list.
I agree.
Here's the thing. The ones that we've tackled, or the television shows that I mentioned at the very beginning of this, they're all being brought back in TV form. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure the Next Gen crew would say, yeah, you want to bring us back for another movie? We'd go for it.
Right.
The idea of bringing them back onto TV, I think the most realistic thing that they could do, and we actually brought this up, we talked about Star Trek reboots, which is a different animal altogether from a Star Trek revival. A reboot would be like a new cast, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. I think the most realistic revival for TNG is what, you know, we're seeing with like the X-Files, just like six episode limited run, go back to kind of how we had adventures in the old days, and you know, there you go.
TNG is definitely the one I think fans would really rally the most for.
Yes, I because the thing is that the cast, yes, they've aged, but they're not at quite the original series age where it's not uncomfortable to see them.
Right.
You know, it's not like shattering your illusions of this cast. Look at LeVar Burton, that man. Like,
yeah. There's
Michael Dorn. Like, put him in makeup. He's
gonna look great.
He's Worf.
Yeah.
So
no, I agree. Now out of this cast, who do you think are the holdouts? Who are the ones that are gonna be the toughest to pin down to, you know, for a return appearance?
You're not getting Stewart back. You're not getting Spiner back.
I don't think Spiner, huh?
No. Here's the thing. Just go back, look at Nemesis. They put so much effort into killing off Data and replacing him with B4 because Spiner doesn't want to play Data anymore.
Yeah.
He kept saying stuff like, I'm getting old and chubbier, blah, blah, blah. But then why replace him with his identical twin? It makes no sense to me, but...
You don't think he'd change his mind if everyone else was signing up?
Here's the best way I would be able to justify it. He does Data as a motion capture, like, character where I think...
And they make him look like he's from the Polar Express.
Well, honestly, I think it would be a little bit easier to recreate, like, Data in CGI form, you know, and have Spiner doing the voice. Here's the thing. He's supposed to be an android that doesn't age.
He would look horrific. I'm thinking of, like, TV. Like, I'm not seeing them putting a lot of money and effort into this. I'm picturing, like...
TV budget, like, motion capture...
Data. I'm picturing it looking like the Scorpion King at the end of at the end of The Mummy Returns.
Yeah, but hey, you know what? Technology's advanced, you know, since Scorpion King, Cam.
In some ways, yes.
In some ways.
But you can still get terrible-looking motion capture. Hell, look at, Snoke from the new Star Wars film.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that movie had a lot of money behind it. I don't know that the Star Trek revival would even have that for a major character. Snoke's in, like, 5 minutes of the movie.
So Data looks worse than Snoke.
Yes.
Here's the thing. The only way I see Spiner coming back is if he can Snoke it and provide his voice in the motion capture. It just doesn't make sense for us to see a chunkier Data, you know, it would just be weird.
Doesn't this lose a lot, though, considering Data is for many the favorite character on the show?
Oh, yeah. But that's why I'm saying that's why you would Snoke him. He would be motion capture, so he would be there.
There is no way that they're going to drop money for a motion capture character in this Star Trek revival.
Not a very good-looking one. A real cheap-looking Data. I could totally see them doing that.
What if they just put a mannequin on wheels and they pull it through scenes?
I love it.
And they'll be like, Data's been deactivated again.
Okay, sure. I love that idea even better than Snoking it.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
So Patrick Stewart, you think is no way, huh?
No way. He's too busy with Blunt Talk, but honestly...
Is he that busy with Blunt Talk? Is Blunt Talk going to keep going?
I think, here's from what I understand, that it was signed for 2 seasons. I don't really hear much buzz about it from critics and ratings-wise. I think like 12.
But if he's doing 12 episodes, I mean, what's to stop him from, like, you look at the X-Files, Duchovny's on another show, Aquarius, but he's managing to fit in 6 episodes of X-Files. Why couldn't Stewart do 6 episodes of Star Trek?
Because I don't think he's interested at all. Yeah. I think the only reason that we saw him at the convention last year is because he's there to promote Blunt Talk.
Yeah, I think that's
true. I just really think Patrick Stewart could not care less at this point. You know, if he was going to bring back Picard, it'd have to be for a movie.
Yeah.
We're talking about TV revivals. I don't see Patrick Stewart coming back. Now, Tom Hardy, could we get him to replace Patrick Stewart?
Not a chance.
Okay.
So does this mean we have to get a mannequin of Picard also on wheels to pull around?
Is it just going to be like a stop-motion version of Star Trek?
I just picture it just being like only Jonathan Frakes, but with like all these like mannequins of other characters and him doing the voices for all of them.
I'm picturing that scene in Home Alone where like he wants to make it look as if there's a party going on in the house, so he's like pulling on levers to make like stand-up cardboard copies of things like moving around, and
it's actually
Jingle Bell Rock playing throughout the ship.
I was thinking similarly, although I was thinking of the scene in Freddy Got Fingered where he has all the sausages. He's doing, oh, Daddy, do you want some sausage? And it strings on all the mannequins.
It makes sense to me.
So, okay. So, assuming that this revival of TNG has now lost its two most popular characters, is there any viability for this kind of sad now TNG revival?
Yes, and here's what I'm going to say why. Absolutely. Here's what it is, and then you'll step back and be like, oh, okay.
Okay. Wow me.
Star Trek, The Adventures of Captain Worf. Like, it would be essentially like a Worf revival series, you know? Like, Michael Dorn wants it to happen. You're totally going to get, like, Marina Sirtis and Jonathan Frakes, who, let's be honest, they'll do it. They appeared on the last episode of Enterprise.
Yeah.
If that's not a willingness to go in and really, like, mess with a franchise, then I don't know what is. I think they're willing to squeeze into their uniforms once again.
Do you think LeVar Burton would? Because LeVar Burton is now directing TV. He's got Reading Rainbow back. He's exec producing the Roots reboot that's coming to the History Channel.
I just want every Geordi LaForge reference to be, he's in engineering right now. He'll be up any minute. You know, like, that's all it has to be.
This is sounding like the saddest revival ever.
You'll get Frakes. You'll get Sirtis. You'll get Dorn.
Ace McFadden?
Yeah, I think
maybe.
You would. I think you'd get Denise Crosby back as Sela.
Oh, my Lord.
I think Denise Crosby really regrets leaving when she did.
She's going to regret coming back when she did if she signs up for this.
All the Sela fans will be delighted, though. Right.
Delancey?
Sure. Why not? I think he could come back.
I will be honest. I do think it would be kind of fun to see a Q episode of a Captain Worf show.
Just Worf dealing with Q the whole time.
You know, that would actually be pretty funny.
What are your thoughts about bringing Will Wheaton back for this revival? The Traveler, like, is the impetus for the entire revival here.
Well, now you've sold me. No, I mean, I don't think... I think Will Wheaton has kind of very mixed memories of playing Crusher, and I don't think Wesley is destined for a return trip. So, yeah, I don't think that he would be wanting to come back.
Yeah, I don't necessarily see Will Wheaton coming back. But maybe, like, Whoopi Goldberg, I think she would be willing to...
You think so?
Yeah, sure.
Really? I don't know. She's pretty busy with The View.
I don't know. Like,
so dismissive of The View.
Well, I'm just
that's
saying.
Filming every day. That's a lot of work.
Whoopi Goldberg can stand in front of a green screen and.
So now we're green screening in Whoopi Goldberg. This show is so grim.
We're already putting mannequin Picard and mannequin B4 on the bridge. I think we can green screen.
Well, I mean, people were like, you know, have been mixed on the X-Files reboot, which brought back everyone.
Yes.
And now
not
our
Doggett
show,
and Reyes,
and
though.
And now TNG doesn't bring back anyone, but we're saying this is viable.
Here's the thing, money talks. If Paramount really wanted to make it happen, I think you fork over enough dough, you'll get the entire cast back. Here's the thing, okay, let's say hypothetically we get the whole cast back. Is there story left to mine? Because here's you've got Riker and Troy on the USS Titan,
right?
You've got Captain Worf doing his own thing. B4 still at the academy and keeps failing at all his classes again and again. So is it really like Picard left alone on the bridge with Geordi in engineering the whole time? And maybe Crusher occasionally making her rounds around
She's
sick
not
bay.
On the Pasteur yet?
Maybe she is.
This show sucks.
It's
literally
show?
Like all your favorite characters are in separate locations.
Yeah, well, so based on the Voyager timeline, alternate timeline though, Geordi would have command of his own ship. Is this just going to be a series of nothing but, like, the main characters are on their own separate ships. Like, yes. One person gets, like, their one character-centric episode about them commanding their own starship. You know, maybe that's how you get them back. You can get Patrick Stewart back for one episode, and it's all about him having to deal with this new crew. You know, it's about before repeating all of his academy courses. It sounds awful, but maybe that's how you get them all back. They're going to arrest a development, this sort of thing, by having all these actors with their own character-centric episodes.
I think this is a bad idea.
I think it's awful, but I don't know. I can see it happening.
The only way I could see it working is if you take, like, a Fuller House approach, spin it off of, like, a couple characters, and then have other ones occasionally pop in.
That's why I bring up Captain Worf. I think that actually is the most viable. Would you agree that a Captain Worf thing is actually kind of viable?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's necessarily...
It's not something I'm that interested in, but I think so. Maybe Riker and Troy on their own ship, I guess. But
I could buy that.
But ultimately, if I'm looking at reviving TNG, when you're just bringing back a show with, like, one or two of the characters... It's like Joey.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anyone remembers that. If people even remember the show Joey, which was the Friends spinoff.
I remember Joey.
I watched every episode. it lasted like, what, three seasons?
I think two seasons.
Yeah, two. I mean, it was grim. It, you know, did not recapture the magic of Friends. And I think if you are seriously looking at reviving TNG, you want the whole cast there.
Yeah.
Or at least the majority of them. But... The way the show ended, it's not conducive to having them all in one location.
No. But
unless they're all in the retirement home.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Very much like the scrapped script for, was it Star Trek VI?
Right.
Yeah.
Unless you did something where they were all retired and had to come out of retirement a la Space Cowboys.
Sure. I could buy that.
Sure. And there was like one last mission.
On the Enterprise,
yeah,
you know,
I guess,
or they had to commandeer a galaxy class starship and rename it the Enterprise. I don't know.
I think it'd be sad.
It'd be very sad. I agree.
Yeah, I think we're best to let that one just lie.
TNG, The Adventures of Captain Worf and Alexander, maybe the most chance we have of a next gen revival here.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's move on to the next franchise, Deep Space Nine, because my thought process here, we can go through the actors, but I mean, just from a storytelling perspective, I think there's actually a lot of Deep Space Nine story left to tell. A lot of these, you know, TV series, we get to the end of the adventures and you're wondering, well, I think they kind of told every story that's out there.
Yeah.
I don't know, but there's so much character-based stuff going on in Deep Space Nine. They also set up a lot of political stuff. I'd just be curious what is going on at this space station at this point.
Right. I mean, it would be, you know, kind of like having a Star Trek series in the 23rd century to the 24th century and onwards, just seeing the development of Starfleet.
Yeah.
Same thing with DS9. You'd see the next time period and what's going on in DS9. And you'd have, obviously, Quark would be there. Kira would probably be there.
Yeah.
You know, there would be a number of the cast that would just be tied to that station. Anyway, Jake was still there when last we saw him, so who knows what he's up to.
Cassidy Yates, you know, maybe...
Fan favorite.
She wants to stick close to the wormhole in case Sisko ever comes back.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, if this is a revival, Sisko comes back.
Yeah. Let's say it came out right now. Is it weird to think that baby Sisko would be, like, older than Jake when we last left off with Deep
Space Nine? Is he going to be reborn as a baby?
Sorry?
He's going to be reborn as a baby?
Oh, Benjamin?
Yeah.
That'd be really creepy. He impregnated his wife, who gave birth to him.
Oh wait, you're talking about his son.
Yeah, or daughter.
I thought you meant Sisko was being reborn. I'm like, wait, what?
No.
Did I miss something in that finale?
No. I'm talking about, like, here's the thing. Like baby Sisko.
Right.
I mean, that show ended 17 years ago.
Yeah.
Like Jake was, I think, what, like 20. 21 when, like, the show ended.
Yeah.
Because he started when he was 14.
Right.
So, it's just weird to think, like how long it's been since we visited this crew.
Right.
Molly O'Brien, we just saw her in Vegas a couple years ago. She's an adult. She'd be done at Starfleet Academy, right? Right?
Yeah. She'll be there for the 50th anniversary, apparently, too.
I can't wait. We already have a photo with her.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of creepy dudes getting, like, individual photos with her. Yeah. We got a photo with her as part of the cast.
Yeah.
There are a lot of creepy dudes just getting a picture with her.
Did I see you in line like 3 times?
Shut up. Not in front of the listeners, Cam.
Yeah, so, okay, so who of the cast of DS9 are the holdouts?
I think it's going to be very tough to get Avery Brooks back. Just health issues, I think.
I think. We don't know what's going on with Avery Brooks. Yeah. It's like he's kind of vanished off the face of the map.
Yeah.
That is usually a strange, like, not a very good sign, I find. When you, because actors tend to kind of want to be out in the public a bit or maintain a presence.
Yeah.
He has had zero.
But here's the thing. My thought process is it'd be very sad if we get a next-gen revival and there's no Picard.
Yeah.
Deep Space Nine could actually work without Sisko. If yeah, Avery Brooks is a holdout, it would actually make sense if Sisko's not around. You know, I would love to hear, hey, he returned and helped raise his baby and then he had to disappear into the Celestial Temple once again.
Yeah.
But it still works if he's not around because there's so many other characters to delve into. I could still see Kira running the station, you know, like 20 years since she started aboard it, or almost 25 years. Holy shit.
Yeah.
But,
Cole Meany, I don't think is going to come
back. I don't think he's coming back. I don't think Sidig El-Fadil's coming back either. Like, he's got a burgeoning career as well as Cole Meany. But after that,
what about Rene Auberjonois? I don't know if he ever wants to put that makeup on again.
Yeah, and the other thing is, he...
Or Armin Shimmerman, possibly.
Well... Rene Auberjonois, he told us at the Seattle convention back in 2014 that he's essentially retired. Like, he likes hanging out in Northern California, working on his pottery. He's up there in the years as well. Maybe it's come to the point where he can do motion capture too.
Oh, my Lord.
same with Quark, you know. But I don't know. But there's... I think you kind of have to bring back Quark. Like, I think it would be weird if Quark is not in this revival.
Would he come back?
I think you could probably twist Armin Shimmerman's arm and get him back there. I think you could. It might be tougher with Rene Auberjonois. I also wonder, is there a story left to tell with Odo?
No.
I really think that his arc came to an end.
Yeah.
Maybe, possibly, if you want to center the story around the return of the Founders and the Dominion and how Odo plays a role. But I'm okay with Odo not returning. I would not be okay with... say Kira not returning or Quark not returning.
Yeah, I feel like Kira and Quark are the two essentials.
Yeah.
Who else is essential to reviving DS9?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if there's too many. I'd be very disappointed if we don't get Garak to return. But here's the thing, like
Vic Fontaine.
Jimmy Darren's aged quite well.
Yeah,
I could see Vic Fontaine coming back.
Yeah.
But you know, like, here's the thing. O'Brien's back at the Academy on Earth. I do kind of think that maybe you need Bashir back, but I don't think he's as essential as Kira or Quark. I think maybe those are the only two must-haves. You have so many people on the bench, like, supporting characters, that I think a revival could work without a lot of the main cast, which is actually surprising. And you said earlier it would be very sad looking at the TNG revival without so much of the cast. This would not be a sad endeavor with a lot of the main cast missing from Deep Space Nine. But I mean, I think you could get...
I feel like it would be less a revival than just a new series. Like, when I think of like these revivals we're talking about, like Fuller House, The X-Files, Twin Peaks, a lot of it is bringing back cast members.
And yes.
It's sort of continuing the story. I feel like DS9 is going to be kind of like a new series in the same location with a couple returning characters.
Well, I would still call that...
It is sort of a revival, but...
No, I wouldn't say sort of. I would say it's the same character, a lot of the same characters in the same setting. I would call that a revival. You know?
It feels
I know what you're saying, though. It would feel different. But here's the thing. Here's why I would say it's still a revival. Look, you're going to get Aaron Eisenberg back. You're going to get Chase Masterson back. You're going to get Max Grodinchik back. You know, J.G. Hertzler's coming back. I think Sirach Lofton will come back. You know, there's going to be so many familiar faces. But what do you think about, I mean, I don't see Terry Farrell coming back.
No.
She's dead. Spoiler alert. Sorry, Jadzia Dax is dead.
Not Terry Farrell. Terry Farrell's
looking quite splendid for, she's 50-something now.
I guess yeah.
Yeah. I say you could bring back Nicole DeBoer to play Ezri again.
Morn would be back.
Morn would be back, that's for sure. But look, we've kind of closed the door on, I'd say, Dukat, Kai Winn.
Vedic Barral.
unfortunately, Vedic Barayal, Damar, you know. But I don't know. Do you think when we go back to the concept of like who are some of the must-haves, even if it's just a cameo, do you think we need to touch upon Garak just one last time?
I think Garak is a must-have.
Yeah.
I think you have to have him. I think he's too much of a fan favorite to ignore. I think he is someone who's going to show up in a key episode, you know, either the finale or the premiere, one or the other. It's going to be a kind of, he's not going to show up in episode, you know, 7.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to show up at a key episode in the series.
Yeah, yeah. What about a lost, unknown POW, one Wayun clone that we were never aware of? Do you see Jeffrey Combs coming back, either as Wayun or as Brunt?
Yeah, I think Jeffrey Combs comes back.
As both.
In some way, or even a new character.
Yeah.
I think it's just a way to tie him into, you know, the continuing DS9 legacy.
I wouldn't call him an essential, but I would definitely think that he'd come back. If Michael Dorn's willing to do a Captain Worf spinoff,
yeah,
I think he's willing to reprise the role of Worf as well.
Yeah.
I could see Worf coming back too.
Yeah.
So I do think out of all of them, like, it's very unlikely we're ever going to revive Deep Space Nine, but I think creatively, I think out of all the series, this has the most to mine.
Well, I think there's a lot of fertile ground definitely to kind of spring ideas from. I mean, when we left the show, you know, it was going to be a new sort of time for Bajor.
Yeah.
And
it's very likely that they're going to enter the Federation quite soon.
Yeah, I mean, Cardassia was not in good shape.
No.
So the idea that we would see sort of the developing, you know, power of Bajor and the rebuilding of Cardassia, I think would be really interesting.
What if the show starts with Cardassia ready to join the Federation?
Yeah.
You know, that would be an intriguing... You can tie in a lot of the Cardassian elements, maybe the Garak cameo that we want to see so much.
Yeah.
Lots of story to tell. And just how Deep Space Nine is such a strategic location, has such a big part to play in all of it. It makes sense. It makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. No, I think... I'm not saying that I want to see a Deep Space Nine revival, but I think you could do one.
Yeah. Would you be okay with one Starfleet Captain Kira commanding the space station still? Or would you like to see her maybe move on into a new role at this point? In the Deep Space Nine novels, she's now a Vedic. Do you want to see Vedic Kira Nerys?
No.
Okay. But, I mean, would you be okay with seeing her still commanding the space station?
Yeah, I think so.
I would like to see it if only because...
I don't want to see her wandering around in the garden.
No. Well, that would mean more Barayal, though, wouldn't it?
Not anymore. No, he's gone.
Okay.
So, no, I mean, I'd like to see her play the central role in the series.
Yeah.
Sure. So, I mean, look, anything that's going to produce more hours of, like, Kira adventures, I think is a good thing. Just seeing the Nov Visitor play that character is, like, riveting.
Yeah,
I mean, I think there's potential just for that character's return, but I don't know. DS9 was ended so perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, it just wrapped up such a perfect bow. I have no frustrations left. I mean... Yes, it left you wondering, and you could definitely, you know, fan fiction what happened next. But I just feel like I'm okay with, you know, that final shot zooming out from the station being the end.
And it's interesting that you bring that up. I thought All Good Things was a better finale.
Yeah.
But you're kind of left with, like, the film legacy.
Yeah.
And it really seems as if they need to come back and kind of, like you said, kind of tie the bow properly on the next gen crew. And that's why it's a little unsatisfying when you kind of go back and look at the film legacy of that particular end of the franchise.
Yeah, I mean, I think Deep Space Nine, I mean, I haven't seen the end of Voyager, but it ends with the most sort of dignity and respect to the show of any Star Trek series.
Okay. Well,
original series actually isn't bad either, but then I would say if it ended with Star Trek
Turnabout or Truder?
Well, I'm thinking I'm going to the movies. But Star Trek VI wraps up perfectly, but then you get Kirk. You know, once Generations rolls around, it kind of undoes everything. So
maybe the animated revival has the opportunity to fix all of that.
Yeah, maybe.
Sure.
Maybe. So let's move on to Voyager.
A show that did not end with such dignity. that you speak of, Cameron?
I have not seen the ending yet.
Have you heard good things about it?
No. No, most of the cast is, like, ridiculed it at cons I've been to. So,
yeah.
No, it's not one I'm really, like, counting down the days till I watch, but...
Well, who do you think the holdouts are for the Voyager revival, Cam?
I think Kate Mulgrew might be tough.
Yes.
She's doing Orange is the New Black, but, I mean, that's a shorter schedule anyway. That doesn't necessarily prevent her from doing a short season revival. I just feel like she wouldn't be interested in doing it.
I agree. Like, I think she's getting so much out of this new role that it just wouldn't make sense for her. And I know she likes the cast quite a bit, but I agree. I don't see her doing this. What about Jeri Ryan? Do you see her coming back?
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
Not a chance she is squeezing back into that, like, unitard. There is no way in hell.
If you look at the rest of the cast, are those the only two holdouts, Cam?
You know what? Ethan Phillips might be busy.
I was going to bring
works a lot.
Him and Robert Picardo as possibly guys that are busy.
To be fair, Roxanne Dawson is directing a lot of TV these days.
Same with Robert Duncan McNeil.
Yeah.
So those four might be tough as well. So that leaves you with Garrett Wong, Robert Beltran, who hates Voyager.
And Tim Russ.
And Tim Russ. Would this be the Tuvok and Ensign Kim adventures? Would you watch this?
Oh my god! It's the three least dynamic characters. Do you remember when we talked way back? Oh god. It was the episode we did on spinoffs. The spinoffs that never happened. Which was real life plans for spinoffs. And not the spinoff showcase episode. Way back in the earlier days.
The Xenophobe Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
Would this work?
Look up that episode. It was really fun. But we talked about how there was plans for a Vulcan show, and how do you make drama with a cast of characters with no emotions?
Yes.
That is what the Voyager reboot would be with Tim Russ.
So coming back 15 years later, would it still be an Ensign Harry Kim? I think you have to, just as a joke.
As a joke. Maybe open the first episode with him being promoted from Ensign to...
No, being demoted from lieutenant to ensign. That's the kicker there. What about Jennifer Leon?
What about her?
She coming back, Cam?
If I read the tea leaves, no.
Oh, okay. Just no room for more Kes storylines, in your opinion?
I like Kes. I really like that character. I think it's a real bummer how she was misused on the show. No, Jennifer Leon isn't coming back.
She's not coming back. Okay. I want you to ask me a question.
Yeah.
Because you have not gotten to the finale.
Okay.
Is there any story left to tell?
Is there any story left to tell, Tyler? Because I don't know.
I would say... Okay, what's the central conceit of Voyager?
Being lost in the Delta Quadrant.
Do you know what happens at the very last scene in Star Trek
They get Voyager? Back to Earth.
Yeah. So they kind of solve the central conceit of... the series
Voyager, yeah.
By the finale. So would the adventures be about Tuvok and Harry Kim just trouncing around the Alpha Quadrant doing what exactly?
Yeah, I don't know. So is it like a Captain Chakotay show?
I don't think Robert Beltran's coming back to this one.
Now we're just down to Tim Russ and Garrett Wong?
Do you see Beltran coming back? He really did not like doing
this
series.
Yeah, but he's the one who's probably the most available.
Yeah.
So...
Do you see Robert Beltran coming back? Let me ask you that.
Maybe.
Maybe?
If
okay.
the circumstances are right, maybe.
So, okay, so it's this trio...
Do you think he'd come back if he's the star of the show? And he's getting the material written for him. His big issue with not liking Voyager was that Chakotay didn't get anything interesting to do.
Yeah, hey, look, if there's only three... actors on the show are three like stars on the show. I see Beltran coming back. So it's these three doing what exactly in the Alpha Quadrant?
Just puttering around.
Yeah, you'd have Tuvok's the first officer. Kim's just been demoted back to ensign again.
Right. And Chakotay's the captain.
Yeah.
This is the worst TV show ever.
What's sadder, the TNG revival we spoke of, or this revival?
Oh,
I think this is a sadder revival.
I think this is the epitome of sad.
So we spoke about how the likelihood of an Next Gen revival is probably the greatest. Creatively, I think Deep Space Nine has the most potential. What does Voyager have going for it in a revived format?
A cheaper cast.
Yes, economically viable. That's about all you can manage there.
So, okay, so say you are a exec and you are desperate to reboot a Star Trek series. You're desperate, okay?
Yeah.
You know, the entire cast of TNG has told you to shove off. The DS9 cast are like, we don't want to be trapped in the room with each other anymore. We didn't like each other for the first 7 years. We're not signing up for more. As you go down the line, are you coming to the Voyager cast? Or are you just giving up after the DS9 cast? Or even after the TNG cast?
I think you at least make an effort to go after Jerry Ryan and Kate Mulgrew, and you shove tons of money in front of them.
Yeah.
You go after Robert Picardo because you know that's... The Doctor is one of the three main characters on that show.
Right.
Because here's the thing. We're going through the must-haves on Deep Space Nine. I think there's three must-haves on Voyager. It's Janeway, mm-hmm. Seven, and the Doctor.
Right.
If without those three, I don't know. What do you have, really? You've got the Chakotay, Tuvok, and Ensign Kim hour.
Yeah.
That's just really kind of pathetic, you know? And so creatively, I don't really see where they go from there, even if they do bring back Janeway, Seven, and the Doctor. Like, what do you foresee for this show creatively, really, Cam?
They get lost in the, what's another quadrant they could get lost in?
The Gamma Quadrant. They go through the wormhole, and the Celestial Temple closes permanently, so they have to go back through the other side of the galaxy.
Sure.
Yeah,
no.
I don't see this working.
I think the only way that a Voyager revival works is if you're just bringing back the ship. And it's just the next cast of the Voyager.
And a new crew?
Yeah.
Okay, I could kind of buy that.
Would that work with the others? Like, reviving, you know, TNG with just the Enterprise?
Would it be the Enterprise E?
I don't know.
Does anybody care about the E?
It could be the F.
Sure, okay.
Yeah.
What do you think the chances are of Brian Fuller having the Enterprise F or G as the main starship?
Well, he said he didn't want to use the Enterprise.
Yeah.
So, not good for the Enterprise.
So there you go.
Yeah. So, another Voyager? I mean, I'm not opposed to another reusing the Voyager ship.
Yeah.
I think that's a decent idea. It's a good-looking ship.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
I can't fake this. I have no enthusiasm for Voyager revival.
I'd much rather watch Picard and Data mannequins than watch Chakotay and Tuvok on the bridge.
Which is also mannequins. I mean, oh boy. I'm trying to think of something positive to say about a Voyager revival, because the thing is, there should be some... The show isn't without merit. Like, I think there's lots of good episodes of Voyager as I've gone through. There's been a lot I've really enjoyed.
We crap on that show a lot, but there are a lot of good episodes.
There are a lot of good episodes, and there's good performances from the actors. Just not the ones coming back for this revival as much. They just aren't given that much to do in general. I just got nothing. Like, this show is... It's just dead in the water.
Yeah.
I think once you remove the... Because I think the conceit of Voyager, the whole lost in the Delta Quadrant, is a really good idea. It's a really novel approach to a Star Trek series that we, you know, hadn't seen before. Maybe it wasn't done to its fullest, but I think it's a really good idea.
Would it be about fixing the whole Voyager conceit? Like, throwing a whole new crew into the Delta Quadrant and watching them try to get back, but doing it right?
Maybe the Gamma Quadrant this time.
Okay, sure.
You know what? Like, I think there's a lot of... I think there's more grounds for, like, a Voyager reimagining.
Yeah.
Of another crew lost, and really playing that out in a way that the original just didn't.
We agree that a Star Trek Voyager revival is pretty much a no-go.
Oh, it's a no-go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, out of all of them that we've brought up so far, I think this one has the least chance of ever getting on air.
What about the original series one?
I think that has a greater chance, honestly. So? Okay. I really do.
Yeah.
He brings back Stephen Collins. I mean, what can I say?
You can get a day pass.
Yeah, exactly. He's got an ankle bracelet.
Yeah. Let's move on to Enterprise.
Here's one I'm actually kind of intrigued by. Cam, what do you think the chances are of getting either Scott Bakula or Julian Blaylock back for this particular revival? Maybe like a limited 6-episode run here.
Oh, I feel like Bakula might do it if he wasn't busy, but he's really busy right now.
He's incredibly busy. He's doing like 22 episodes
of NCIS.
Nalins, yeah.
So I think you have to count him out.
I think you do as well. Would a Enterprise revival be possible without Archer? Well, here's the thing. He's Admiral Archer
exactly.
by the end.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, he's moved on. So I would say yes. So it would be a new captain of the Enterprise.
Here's the thing. Would T'Pol be the captain?
I don't know. It was very unclear at the end of that episode.
Well, because the thing is, do you see Jolene Blaylock coming back as T'Pol? She was in the film starring Cameron Diaz and Jason Segel, Sex Tape, a few years ago.
Yeah, very briefly.
Very briefly, but she had disappeared for like a decade prior to that.
Well, she's had like children. She's basically retired to raise her kids. So, I mean, I don't know how old her kids are at this point, like whether they'd be at an age where she would maybe consider working again, because that, you know, does happen.
Yeah. Would you watch Captain T'Pol?
Yeah. You know what? I would.
I would.
I would. I think there's enough promise for that character and in Jolene Blaylock as a lead that I think it could work.
I think so as well. Like, I would be intrigued to see a Captain T'Pol Enterprise revival. Would you go with dead Trip? Or living Trip? Would you? Here's the thing. He dies in a holographic program. There's always a chance that the holodeck got it wrong, right? Or would you say, hey, you know what? What happened happens. We have to go beyond. We have to move beyond. Have a new chief engineer who will serve under Captain T'Pol.
I'm generally a what happened happened kind of guy.
Yeah.
Like, I hate that they brought back Cigarette Smoking Man in the X-Files revival.
Yes.
Like, a lot.
I agree.
I'm kind of glad that the Lone Gunman being brought back turned out to be a cruel joke on the viewers. The whole Trip thing is hazy. Like, it's easy to rewrite because of the fact it was a holodeck program.
Yeah.
But at the same time, why would there be a holodeck program showed he died if he was, like, alive and well?
The holodeck could have gotten it wrong.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I feel like our historical records now tend to know if someone died or not, someone famous. So, unless he's Tupac...
Maybe it wasn't a historical record. Maybe it was just a choose-your-own-adventure kind of thing.
Like a fantasy record.
Yeah.
That made up. Yeah.
You know.
I would say he's dead.
Okay. So you get a new chief engineer. So you've got Captain T'Pol commanding one Mayweather and Reed
and
Hoshi Sato. Here's what you need to do. This is key here. You bring Shran back in a big way. You put him on the bridge. He's honestly a second billing next to Jolene Blaylock there. I'm talking about Jeffrey Combs here because I have to be honest. I don't think they really did much with the other three characters.
No.
You know, but Phlox had a lot to do. John Billingsley, that is a working actor, though. He's very busy. He's up there with Scott Bakula. I think he might be able to...
Is he actually tied to any shows right now, or is he just guest starring, doing a lot of guest work?
Doing a lot of guest work.
There is an appeal, though, for him to sign on for, like, a steady paycheck.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he might be willing to do it.
And even if he can't do everyone, it makes sense if, hey, the doctor's down in the sick bay.
Yeah.
So I could buy that.
The question is, does he want to do the makeup again?
You know what? I think his makeup is a lot less intensive than it was for, say, Rene Auberjonois or Armin Shimmerman.
Ethan Phillips.
Yeah. And also, I just wonder how much makeup has advanced in the last decade plus.
Yeah.
So I don't think it'd be such an enduring challenge for him to get behind that. So, like I said, I think this would work if you put Shran on the bridge. You go with Captain T'Pol.
What about Shran as the first officer?
Yeah, that works.
There would be
for me.
Serious conflict between, you know,
an Andorian and a Vulcan.
Yeah,
that would be great. About a Tellarite engineer to replace Trip?
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah,
that's kind of fun.
This actually seems like creatively an interesting revival. I think just signing people onto this would be kind of an easier endeavor than, say, Voyager, Deep Space Nine, and Next Gen.
Yeah.
Just cast availability wise.
Yeah.
I kind of get behind this one.
Now, you're saying you could kind of get behind it. Do you think any exec would be willing to do an Enterprise revival?
No. Not at all.
Yeah.
No way, no how. B, here's the other thing. I think a lot of Star Trek fans are like me in that they gave up on Enterprise.
Yeah.
I only got into it again because you and Ben really pushed me to get into it. I was doing this podcast with you as well, so it made sense for me to finish off that series. I think it's a tough sell for a lot of mainstream fans that just don't have fond memories of Enterprise. I love season 3 and season 4 of Enterprise, so I would put season 4 as one of the best seasons of Star Trek, period.
Wow.
Like, that's coming from somebody who really did not dig the first couple seasons of Enterprise. So right. I think if fans are skeptical of my love for the series now, just remember the fact that I used to be in your shoes, too. Right. So,
like, I think that there was plenty of more Enterprise stories to tell.
Yeah, like, the birth of the Federation really had not been told by that point, you know?
I would be curious just to know numbers on fans who have come to that series since it went off the air.
Yeah.
Because I know at the time when it aired, it was hated by many. Very, very polarizing show. Whereas I think time has been kinder to that show.
I agree, and it's interesting to see just all the fans that we see at the conventions dressed in those uniforms, and just speaking fondly of it at the convention. I think it's so much easier to rediscover these things on, say, Netflix now.
Mm-hmm. I'd be curious how the Blu-rays sold of Enterprise.
I'm still bitter that Enterprise has the Blu-rays, and there's zero chance that we'll ever get them for Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
You know, although I remember a couple months ago, it wasn't too long, that I was saying that there's zero chance of getting a Star Trek, a new Star Trek series on air before, say, 2020. You know, we've got one coming in less than a year now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think Enterprise, yes, it's aged well, aged better than a lot have. It's actually, I was always amazed, like, this show went off the air like 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I say the production values of that have held up quite well. Just a lot of the special effects sequences I'm still very impressed by.
Right.
You know, just anything from, like, them beaming Archer out of outer space, mm-hmm. like, after an explosion in a space station, to Trip making a ship-to-ship transfer at warp speed,
right.
You know, in his spacesuit. Just cool stuff going on.
Yeah, that show, I just think it feels like the easiest one to translate to now. Mostly just because it was shot not that long ago, anyway, a decade ago. It feels like it would be a very easy one to pick up the ball and continue running with. I don't think any studio would ever, ever want to bring Enterprise back.
No.
And not be willing to invest a cent into Enterprise revival.
What if Star Trek 2017 just totally blows up? It's an excess beyond all measure. Do you think that the studios could be like, what about that Enterprise series? Do we want to revive that? Do you think there's even a possibility? Do you think they would just go to a spin-off instead? Or
I think they would either just do another, you know, like a spin-off.
Yeah.
Or I think you might see a reboot of, like, TNG with a new cast or something.
Sure, yeah.
So, like, something tried and true. I don't think they're going to be revisiting what they perceive as a failure.
Yeah, which to me is kind of disappointing, because I think after Deep Space Nine, this one has the most creative potential.
My question to you, though, is, okay, say we live in a world where the Enterprise show is revived.
Yeah.
Is the theme song coming back?
Oh, I think you have to. At this point, you have to bring back Faith of the Heart.
Is it an orchestral version, though?
You know what? So they went with, like, the pop version and the country music version.
So now we get the rap version?
It needs to be Kanye'd up, in my opinion.
Oh, is this my next challenge after my Vedic Braille rap?
Actually, I want you to do a dubstep version of
Faith in the Heart. That would be amazing. That would be great.
You're bringing back Faith in the Heart just as a joke, if anything else, because it's such a polarizing song.
Yeah.
The biggest fight ever recorded on this podcast was between me and Benjamin Yong. I think that was the last episode he ever did as a regular host, wasn't
no,
it?
No, the last one was Merchandise.
Oh, okay. Well. Yeah. But go listen back to our Best Musical Moments episode from, was that 2014?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Time flies.
But
so I guess we leave the gravestone for Enterprise up now.
Yeah.
Unmolested. So, I mean, I guess, is that it?
I'd say so.
That's depressing. But well, I guess so.
Yeah. I think creatively, I'd love to see either an Enterprise or Deep Space Nine return.
Yeah.
Economically, it's most likely going to be next gen.
Yeah.
Poor Voyager fans. Guys, you got no chance in hell of getting, like, a good, decent series going on.
I feel kind of bad because, you know, we have friends who are big Voyager fans.
Yeah.
Two of them were talking about starting their own Voyager podcast, which I would love to hear.
Yeah, I would listen to it every week.
I think that'd be great. But, you know, I feel bad for them because I think they would be really excited by a Voyager revival, but I don't see it in the cards or, well, frankly, for any fans of Star Trek series. But, hey, hopefully the Star Trek 2017 show is so fantastic that whatever spinoffs it produces give us whole other shows to create podcast episodes around doing revivals of 50 years from now or 40 years from now.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Okay, so I think on that note, our assignment is complete. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, we want to hear from you. Send your thoughts and feedback to subspacetransmissionspod@gmail.com. Also, take a second and leave a review for us on our iTunes page. We very much appreciate it. Helps us, you know, pop up in searches. You know, someone searching up, like, some sort of dubstep song called, like, Substep, they might get Subspace Transmissions popping up in their search.
Substep. Wow, Cam.
That's going to be my next band name, Substep Transmissions. So, yeah, leave a review for us. We'd love to read it on the show. You can also reach us on the Twitter. I'm at Cam V as in Voyager Revival? Probably not. Smith.
You can find me at Reportin, that's R-E-P-O-R-T-O-N, and as in Nichelle Nichols Revival, probably not.
So until next time, the arena is closed.
Transfer complete.